The start of the history book, written and narrated by Jocunda Sykes. Pairing Seffi and Callum from Noughts and Crosses. Rating, teen. Summary. An AU where Seffi breaks Callum out of jail. An AU where our hearts weren't broken into 1,000 pieces. Chapter 1. Seffi. Jude dug around beneath the guard's stab vest and threw me the keys. My fingers behaved like cooked spaghetti as I fumbled through the enormous set, desperately seeking the one for Callum's cell. "Hurry!" Jude hissed, gun aimed at the guard. I bit back a retort and finally found the right key. I could hardly believe the scrape of the lock, the groan of the hinge. With one glance back at Jude, who was a scary sight in his black balaclava, I heaved open the door. I lingered at the threshold, shy like I'd been at 13 when Callum had asked me to kiss him. I'd wrinkled my nose then, surprised that his tongue was wet, surprised that it didn't make me want to heave. Like then, I straightened my spine and gave this my best shot. My dad was Kamal Hadley, second only to the PM, and I could damn well fight every injustice as I pleased. Callum was lying on a narrow bunk, unmoving beneath a scratchy blanket. For a moment, lit by the fluorescent lights of the corridor, I thought he was dead. His face looked skull-like, but his chest was rising and falling in shallow movements. "Wake up," I whispered, my hand on his bony shoulder. He blinked blearily. "What?" Then he jerked upright, hitting his head on the concrete wall. "Jesus cross!" I winced. "I'm not allowed visitors." I cradled his face in my palms. "I take our blood pact very seriously," I said. "You look like shit." He snorted, his grey eyes brightening, then shuttering again. Even at 15, his eyes always seemed much older. What I wouldn't give to have him look at me the way he used to, in a way I was never quite sure if he was laughing at me. "They say I'm going to hang." The words were suspended between us, as if swinging from the gallows. I swallowed. "We're breaking you out. Now, come on." His fingers were icy in mine, and I pressed my mouth to his knuckles, his lips. They were chapped, rough. My eyes stung, and I blinked the feeling away. I pulled him to his feet, and he swayed, repeating, "I'm going to hang." I wondered what punishment I'd get if we were caught. My dad wouldn't spit on me if I were on fire, unless it helped his political career. Every move I made in Callum's direction seemed to pave my way faster to hell. "Yes, and we're leaving." Jude appeared at the doorway, his eyes flashing in anger. "He's not well," I told him. "Hey, bro," Callum tried to smile. "Nice of you to drop by." Jude scowled and stuffed a balaclava over Callum's face, hiding his pale skin. Then he yanked Callum's arm around his neck, and I did the same, wrapping my arm around Callum's waist, and we half walked, half pulled him out of there. "Jack," he croaked at the guard. "A bloody dagger, and don't you forget it," Jude said. I bit my lip. "They don't hang crosses," I reassured Callum, "which is more than can be said for you." We dragged him down the long corridor, past several guards slumped to the ground. "Nerve agent," I murmured in Callum's ear. "They should be fine in 10 minutes. I didn't bother with a balaclava. I couldn't care less who found out. I wanted them to know. We exited into the courtyard, and Jude dropped into the manhole. He reached out for Callum, and even though Jude was a massive ass, was so thankful he was here to help. Goodbye, Humet Prison. Chapter 2. Callum. I worked it out. I'm dead. I died ages ago and woke up in hell and I didn't even realise. God, how stupid I've been. Must have died before I started at Heathcroft School, because every day since has been crap. I'll meet Seffi tomorrow at the beach. Lately, I'd had a recurring dream where I was stuck in a box, no bigger than I was. No matter how hard I kicked or punched, I couldn't smash my way out. The more I tried, the tireder I got. And I got nowhere. And it was only when I ran out of breath and my body ached with tiredness that I realised I wasn't in a box at all. It was a coffin. And since I realised that, I stopped struggling and waited to die. Waited. And waited. But this coffin was rocking gently. It was soft and smelt nice. My head thumped in pain. And then I heard a gentle voice and I could hardly breathe for the wonder of it. Dear God, please help Callum's family. Stop hurting his family. But it's not you, is it? Sorry, this is nothing to do with you. This is more like the devil's work. Well, maybe I'm wrong there, too. Maybe hating noughts has nothing to do with the devil, either. Maybe it's something we've invented. And then we just blame it on you, God, or on the devil, because it's easier than blaming ourselves. Anyway, please help Callum's mum. God doesn't care, I croaked. If he did, I wouldn't be white. And this wouldn't be happening. Seffi beamed at me and I felt warmth spreading down to my toes. You're awake! How do you feel? She helped me sit up and pushed a bowl of lukewarm porridge into my hands. The good book says... She broke off at the sight of my smile. Never mind. I gladly gulped down a glass of water and asked, Where are we? I was inside a narrow boat, which had little tartan curtains pulled across the windows. I could barely drag my gaze from Seffi to take it in. My heart ached with words I longed to say to her. She was the only good thing in my life and that I'd poisoned it. That I'd missed her. That even if I lived to be 500, I could sit and stare at her all day and never get bored. Norfolk somewhere. Eat up. You look like a famine victim. After satisfying herself that I was eating, she continued, Jude's gone to a safe house, don't know where, and you and I are getting out of here. I frowned. How do you mean? Abroad. For good. Or until it's legal to be together in Albion. I hadn't liked to waste my time on big global fantasies such as, what if there were no such thing as noughts and crosses? But smaller ones. What if there was such a thing as Seffi and Callum? Seffi took out a tube of lipstick and put a pair of diamonds in her ears. Getting tarted up for somewhere fancy? Seffi snorted and slipped on a sparkling ring. Don't be silly. I'm putting my birthday and Christmas presents to good use. I need to fool Border Force. I wolfed down my porridge. Perhaps I was dreaming. Lucas, our captain, is ever so nice. He'll be transferring us to his yacht when we reach the coast. We've got new passports, new identities, and I made sure I was seen buying 2 train tickets to Gaul under my real name to buy us time. I don't understand. I decided to broach something that had been bothering me for months. Seffi, when we were in, you know, the forest, why did you cry? Did I hurt you? If I did... She put her makeup brush in her bag and turned to face me. You know you didn't hurt me. I was crying because I was upset. Upset we couldn't be together. She shrugged. I realised we could never be together in Albion, and as soon as you got the death sentence, I thought, well, why not? Relationships between noughts and crosses are allowed in some countries, even accepted. Her brow furrowed. You are glad I've rescued you, aren't you? My lips twitched. I could hardly dare to hope. I used to long for the days when there were no clouds in her sky, when the biggest worry was what she'd get for Christmas, and the biggest grumble was what time we'd had to go to sleep. When our parents wished things would be better for us. Otherwise, what was the point? Or even the days when I wished the world was just her and me, with no one else in it. When she had no thought for the future whatsoever. How we used to drive each other mad. I was desperate to escape, and she had no dreams at all. And I was left wondering, dreaming. If Seffi and Callum were in a parallel universe somewhere, together and happy. I hadn't forgotten Seffi. How could I? But I'd buried the idea of her deep where not even I could reach it easily. Now I couldn't stop imagining the two of us. My body burned at the thought of it. I looked away from her as if I'd been gazing into the sun. I still couldn't believe she was here and that this was real. You once said, I said in a whisper. Smoothing the bed covers to give my hands something to do. That, wherever I went, you'd go with me. But I've done bad things. Really bad things. We're two sides of the same coin, you and me, she said breezily. I was sergeant. The corners of her mouth turned downwards. If you did terrible things, well, you were suppressing the real you, pretending to be someone else, to get it done. Even though Seffi hadn't been there, couldn't possibly know, She was right. Hadn't felt like myself in a very, very long time. My heart raced. She seemed oblivious to my inner turmoil and stared through a tiny crack in the curtains. Then she unwrapped a foil-covered chocolate and placed it to my lips. I thought back to when she'd given me my first taste of chocolate, and I'd held it on my tongue and kept it there until it melted, slid down my throat, and I nearly choked. This time, I smiled into her warm brown eyes and swallowed. Then she kissed me. Chapter 3. Seffi. The sea shone like a shattered mirror, each shifting fragment reflecting and dazzling. I sat on the deck in my night in stilettos, my best silk head wrap and matching sapphire and green dress, with an alcohol-free cocktail in one hand. I'd got cornrows the day before yesterday in case we made it this far. My heart raced beneath my emerald-covered chest. It took ages for Border Force to check our documents. So often when I was nervous, I thought back to when I was small, to when I preferred the laughter of Callum's house to the dignified silence of my own. I pretended I was there now, in a little world of my own. I'd needed Callum my whole life. "Where's the nought?" I looked the cross up and down. "Below decks," I tutted and wrinkled my nose, "quarantining with the pig flu. We're returning from Gaul in 2 weeks, so you can check his documents then. I had to cook my own breakfast this morning." The guard recoiled, and with a dirty glance at Callum's photo, handed the passports back to Lucas. "Enjoy your trip, ma'am." I nodded and sipped from my glass. Once Albion was half an hour behind us, I clattered downstairs. A smile lit up Callum's face. I flung off my stupid shoes and climbed into his bunk. He wrapped his arms around me and I smiled into his neck. "Iberia, here we come," he said. "You'd better not get seasick." He pulled open the curtains and stared out across the choppy waves. "I don't speak Iberian." We settled back on the bed and stared out to sea. "You'll pick it up twice as fast as me," I said, pulling a face. "You always were the bookish one." We'd file for asylum and then go and sit on a beach. I wouldn't miss my family. Not Minnie, not Mum and her wine, and certainly not Dad. And I wouldn't miss the African Empire. After a time, I murmured, "You once told me that crosses wrote the history books." "Sounds like something I'd say," he said, and I could hear him smiling. "Reckon they'll write about us one day." He kissed the top of my head wrap and his fingertips stroked the back of my neck. "We'd have to write it ourselves." I turned to look at him, glad that I'd the freedom to do so whenever I wished. I'd never owned a photograph or painting of him and relied on my daydreams. His grey eyes were alive with mischief, his face clean-shaven, and his chestnut brown hair was still short from the prison. I loved him anyway. I didn't care what he looked like. He traced his fingertip around the borders of my lips, and I shivered. "Fine," I said. "We shall." The end. This story was written and recorded in 2022. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed my story.